This morning, I want to open right up to our Haftarah portion. This morning, it's Hosea, and again, if it's the English, it's 12:13 through 14:9. In the Hebrew translation, it's 12:13 through 14:10. But I wanted to open this morning to Hosea 14 and verse 1 and 2. I'm using the English translation this morning. 1 and 2, and actually verse 4 also. O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all my iniquities. Receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. And the Lord says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from him. These are comforting words that the prophet Isaiah delivered to the nation of Israel. And this is actually in chapter 14 of Hosea. And the reason these words were really good, that he spoke these words, he spoke the words of God to Israel, because he just before this, and if you read Hosea, the chapters before that, you see that he sort of lays out the apostasy of Israel right to their face. He lays out the sin that they have committed, the idolatry, and probably with some adultery in there also, but the idolatry in there, and their unfaithfulness to their God. And so God speaks to Israel about all of these things that they did that were not pleasing to God. And so now we read these very important words that he delivered to the nation of Israel. Sometime God's relationship with Israel shows us the relationship to us. And I know that I've spoken to this before, that we learn about God's nature and God's character and how God wants to relate to man. And so many times as we see God relating to Israel, we understand how God wants to relate to all of man in general. And what he did was he had a world, and the entire world in general was not really pleasing to God. Man was not pleasing to God. We know that. We have the great flood where he killed all of mankind and the animals, and he took a small portion of them, and he took one family, and then we know that he scattered the people around because he wasn't happy with man. And so we know that God was not happy with the condition of mankind. And so he took this man who was righteous, who was searching for God, Abraham, and he created this new people that we know eventually is Israel. And so now he had a nation of people that he could show the rest of the world how God wanted to relate to mankind. And so what we see here is, this is a wonderful example of what God wanted, how God wanted to relate to man, and how he wanted man to relate to God. And so we see this time and time again. But also there are some times that God relates to Israel, and it's only for Israel, because of some specific dealings of what he's going on with Israel and with the nation of Israel. So we see these two things, but in general, we do understand by the way God deals with Israel how his heart is, what kind of a loving, caring God he really is. And so his words to Israel concerning the stumbling, although it's not the same exact condition that we have in our lives today, that there is stumbling in our lives, that we can apply this to each and every one of us, the condition of stumbling in our lives. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, because we all of mankind, but even in the body of Messiah, as believers, we have stumbled, and we still stumble today. And if we're really honest with ourselves, we are stumbling. We will always be stumbling. And I believe until Yeshua returns, we will always be stumblers. Let's just say we are stumblers. As we see from Hosea, if we ask God for forgiveness, and it's from the heart, and we offer him, as God terms it, the sacrifices of praise from our lips, if we praise God, if we acknowledge God and his goodness, if we turn to him, and if we ask him for forgiveness, he will forgive us of all of our backsliding. And backsliding doesn't even have to be major backsliding. It can just be a little stumbling back sometimes. And we all do this, each and every one of us, because we're not perfect, because we're not totally without sin in our lives. And so the condition of stumbling is a reality, especially of all of mankind, but also even in the body of Messiah. And if we do these things that God says in the times of our stumbling, that he will not let us fall. Because there's a difference of stumbling and falling. All right? And we don't want to get to that time where we have fallen. So stumbling is okay, and God will stop us from falling, his word says. So let's go to Psalm 37 this morning. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. You know, these are all, these verses are uplifting for each and every one of us, but we really need to look and see, first of all, what a loving, caring God we really have, but also to see in this, it shows us what we are like, and then how God wants to relate to us. Because notice here, it says here, though he fall, It doesn't say if he falls or when he falls. It doesn't say if he falls, but it says though he falls. So, or we could say when he falls. So it's if it said if, it would be a possibility. But because it says though or when, it's a certainty. In other words, it's certain that we're going to fall. It's certain. And God knows that. And God wants us to understand that. And God wants everyone to understand that. If you meet anyone in your life that says, I never stumble and I never fall and I never sin and I never do this and I never... You know, it might be they may try to live a life where they are not doing these things, but the reality is, just by who we are and the world we live in and how we live our lives, there are things that we're doing not according to God's word, that we're just either we can't help it or we're not even aware of it, but we are doing things that are considered by God to be sin. Because God says a sin is a sin. If I were to, there's a paper clip in my office that I'm supposed to use for work, and if I decide, gee, I could use a couple of paper clips at home, and I take some paper clips and put them in my pocket to bring them home, I'm stealing. If I go to a bank and rob a bank of $1 million, I'm stealing. Sin is sin. You see? And so it is sin. But the blessing is God has this wonderful way of getting us out of that sin condition. And so he says, even though you're stumbling, I'm going to make sure you don't fall. So we go again, we all stumble, we all fall, we all do these things. And at some time in our lives, we are struggling. There might be people right now that are struggling with things because you know that you're doing things that you shouldn't be doing in your life. And you struggle with it day by day. And yet you get into that same pattern day by day. And so you have this struggle in your life about it. No one is exempt. And so, but God says, if you're struggling, if you're stumbling, I know that, but even though you are stumbling, I'm going to make sure, if you turn to me, I'm going to make sure that you will not fall. There is no excuse. You know, but sometimes people use that as an excuse. Well, we all sin. In other words, they use that to justify what they're doing. Well, we know it's okay, and God knows that we're doing it, and God knows we have a struggle in our lives, so it's okay, and one day when the Lord returns, it's going to be fine. So people, sometimes they use that as an excuse to justify why they are doing these things in their life. We're not to justify it. We are to try to really, from deep down in our hearts, we're trying to resolve these things in our lives if we can. Not to do them in legalistic ways. Not to do it so it's going to eventually not just hurt yourself, but other people, but to truly, honestly do these things. But again, let's not use it as an excuse. Well, we all do it and we're doing it anyway, and there's nothing we can do about it. And even God says that we're going to have sin in our lives, so we might as well do it, you know, because people can take it to all different degrees. However, it is what happens when we stumble that makes all the difference. You see? We all stumble. But the question is, when you are stumbling, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? How are you going to try to correct that in your life? How are you going to consciously, in your mind and in your heart, how are you going to try to deal with that thing in your life, that situation? That's what matters. And God knows. God knows how you react when you do stumble. And that's the important thing in our lives. Let's go Psalm 37. We have just one verse, 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I'm reading this again because I want you to understand the Hebrew here. It's good man. Now, if you look at the Hebrew, it's only one word. It's man. The good is implied, but it is man. It's not the Hebrew word ish for man. It's the word gever for man. It's a certain kind of man. And the way we get that word gever, it's from the root word that means great or strong. So the root word, let me see, I wrote it down here, gavar. And so gavar is the root word. Gaver means valiant, mighty, or good. So when we see the Hebrew word gaver, yes, it means man, but it implies a good man, a valiant man, a strong man. Valiant, strong and mighty of what? It's a mighty man of God. It's a strong man that has a strong relationship with God. So the steps of a good man, not just an ish, not just a man, but a good man, are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. And so we have to understand that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be men and women that are good men and women, that are trying to have a good relationship with him, that care for him as much as he cares for us. And so that is a special, that's what sets us apart that from all the rest of the world. Because I believe God will order our steps, but he doesn't necessarily going to order all the steps of all the people in the world. But there are certain people. Now, maybe, you know, there are people that they love God. They love him, but they don't know his son. So there are people that are good people. I know people that don't have a relationship with God, and they are good people. But so we have all these categories of people out there. But this morning, I'm talking to the people that are the body of Messiah, which if we're going to look at good people, gooder people, and gooder people, we're the goodest people, I really think. And it's not an arrogant thing, and I know sometimes the world looks at it and say, oh, you people, you think you're so much better than us. It's not that we're better than them, but I believe we have a better relationship with God, a much better, because we know who God is in his completeness, because we know God as not just God the Father, the way a lot of people, many people in the Jewish community know. They know God, and they think they love God, but how can they truly love God if they don't know who God really is? If they don't know that God is God the Father and God the Son and God the Ruach, the Holy Spirit. And so we fall into that. The good, we are the good men and the good women. We are the good people. And so the steps of a good man are ordered by God. The scriptures plainly tell us that. And if we trust in him, he is going to direct and he is going to determine our steps. Now just think about that for a second. And it doesn't mean, you know, let's just haphazardly, we don't have to bother consciously making any good decisions in our lives because the Lord's going to direct. It doesn't mean that. But he's going to be with you. He's going to help you make good decisions in your life. All right? He's going to help you to look at things, the good and the bad and the ugly, and look at all the things and really to try to make a conscious decision in your life, how to direct your life. But what he's telling you is he is there to help direct you. And how does he do that? He does it through his Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, speaking to our hearts. And so what better way to ask for guidance from the Lord is to pray, and to pray to the Lord, and to try to listen to the Holy Spirit, and to try to listen to the Holy Spirit talking to our hearts. You see, because that is so many times how God is speaking to each and every one of us, but he wants to direct, and he wants to determine our steps. How do we know that? Because he talks about it. He tells us that. He wants to direct our steps. It's when we don't need God in it that our steps can be misdirected. You know, even as believers, we can get to that point sometime and we can sometimes say, oh, I don't need to go to prayer. I don't need to pray about something. I'm just going to do it. I think this is the best way to do it. I know it's going to be the best way to take care of this thing. So I don't, you know, what you're doing is you're basically saying, so for now, I'm just going to leave God aside and I'm just going to take care of it myself. You know, so sometimes we do that stuff. We fall into that trap. And sometimes, you know, and I'm not saying let's pray about God to everything. You know, and sometimes kidding around, I talk about the people that are out there, you know, the people that they get up in the morning and they pray to ask God what color underwear to put on and, you know, that stuff. You know, we don't have to get that crazy. But the thing is, God wants to be involved with directing our steps. And so when people don't have God in it, people can be misdirected. And we can be misdirected. And there can be confusion about many things in our lives because we try to do it ourselves. We try to do things ourselves. And many times there can be this constant uphill battle. Now, of course, and so I know we've spoken about this before, there will be uphill battles in our life. But when we have constant uphill battles and God isn't in it, you know what? It's going to be a constant uphill battle. And it's hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel. So even if we stumble, even if there is a little bit of an uphill battle here and there, if God is in it and he's directing our steps, he's going to make sure we don't fall. And it won't be. There'll be a time where it's no longer is going to be a constant uphill battle here. God promises when we stumble, we not be utterly destroyed. That's what the falling is about. When we fall, it's being utterly destroyed. That's the end to the extreme when we fall. Did I hear? Was I hearing things? Okay, was it Siri? Siri was talking? Was Siri talking? Okay, was Siri talking to us? Siri, what is my next scripture? Okay, do we still have Psalm 37? Let's put Psalm 37 up there one more time, 23. Because it says, He delights, the capital, He delights, the Lord delights in His ways, and though He fall, He shall not be utterly destroyed. There's a lot of he's going on in there, but I wanted to point this out. Realize some are the Lord and some are man. And so when the Lord, the Lord delights in His ways. The man is ordered by the Lord and God delights in His ways. And though the man falls, the man shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholds the man with the Lord's hand, and that's really the way we should lead it. But He delights in man's ways. Now, let's look at that. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His ways. Now, let me tell you, if we're all stumbling, all of us, even a good man, we're going to be stumbling. But here's the amazing thing. God delights in His ways, and He delights in His ways, good and bad. There's something about, God delights in what we do. And if we are following Him, and He knows that we are truly trying to live for Him, He even delights when we're stumbling. He delights if we make decisions that aren't the correct decisions. First of all, it gives Him an opportunity to get us back in shape and to redirect us, certainly. But the thing is, He takes pleasure even in our stumbling. That's how much He loves us. And if that sounds like a crazy thing, let me explain that. Parents delight when their little baby, and I was sitting here when Larry was talking about little babies and what happens there, because I'm going to be talking about for a minute or two about babies too. Because parents delight when the baby takes his or her first steps all by themselves. Don't we? Don't we delight that? Ooh, they took their first step. Now we have we don't have to search for a video camera that's this big anymore. We can just whip out the phone and we can take a video of the baby's first steps. It's a wonderful thing. But the thing is, we delight in that. We delight in it. What do we delight in when a baby is taking its first steps? It's falling, it stumbles a little bit, it wobbles around, it takes steps and it falls down, and it tries to get up again. We take delight in that. Now, maybe at some point, maybe if they came from another planet and they didn't understand, children and everything, they say, what a cruel thing. You're laughing when their little kid is falling and stumbling around. Look, the kid isn't walking properly, but you're delighting in that. Well, God takes delight in us when we're stumbling around, just the way parents delight when little babies are falling down and toddling over and everything, because that's how we learn to walk. That's how we learn to walk straight, and to be stronger and to be unattended. We know that babies have to go through that process. We understand that. We need to understand that God knows we have to go through processes too. We have to. They're learning processes. Yes, we stumble. Yes, we fall. Yes, we totter around a little bit, and we might stumble a little bit backwards. But God delights in that as a parent delights in that with children. Think about it. Let's think about this step-by-step process. Babies, they go through the stages. First things babies do when they stop laying on their backs or on their bellies, they start crawling around. They crawl around on the ground. And then they climb up, they crawl around, and at some point, they get to a chair. And all of a sudden, one day, they grab onto that chair and they try to hoist themselves up and get on their feet, and then they fall down again. But they crawl around, and they keep crawling around until eventually they're strong enough in crawling around, and then something in them, isn't it evolution amazing? Isn't that amazing how at one point children just naturally, they want to be upright. They want to get over to, so they get over to a piece of furniture or a chair or something, and they try to hoist themselves up to get up. And that's the area. Then, at some point, and you know, and don't think that you know, they're laughing because look at me, mom and dad, look at me, I'm standing. And then at some point, they take that step where they let go of the chair and they try to take a step by themselves and they fall down. Now, do they stop? No. What happens is they're going to do it again. They're going to keep trying it again. The worst thing we can do is to stop them from doing that. So, oh my goodness, we don't want them to fall down. It's okay. They're only falling 2 feet from the... That's why God made babies little. So they don't have a long time to fall, you know, long distance. So the thing is, and then they fall, and then they fall down, and then they get back up again, and they try to do that. Just a little tidbit here that I'm searching back from my 40 years ago of school, when we learn about the nervous system and everything, we learn how the function of the brain and everything. We knew back then, over 40 years ago, we were taught cross-crawling is the most important thing for babies, not just while they are babies, but for them as adults. Cross-crawling, and if you don't know what it is, it's cross-crawling is when you lift one leg and the opposite hand. That's cross-crawling. When a baby's on the ground, they don't crawl like this. They don't crawl both hand and leg, the left side forward and the right. They cross-crawl. They cross-crawl opposite. Do you ever know? Well, you look. You'll see what they do. Cross-crawl. Like this. This is cross-crawl. That patterns their brain. It's not just for them crawling around. It's developing their brain. So cross-crawling is one of the best things for a baby, which means, you know those little jumper little things that the babies, they sit them in and they go jump around all day? They can get around. They can scoot around. You know, it's got wheels on it, and they can get around. So they don't have to cross-crawl around the room. But cross-crawling is the best thing they can do. Not giving them that liberty to cross-crawl, what it's doing is stunting the patterning of their brain. See, now, over 40 years ago, we knew this, but, you know, they looked at the chiropractors like we were all crazy. And people still look a little crazy. And we are a little crazy sometimes, but that's all right. But that's cross-crawling. It's all about patterning the brain, the synapsing. So the brain knows how to work and direct the body. And that's how we develop our brains, with cross-crawling. And so when we, 40 years ago, saw those little things that they put kids in, they sit them in the little thing and they scoot around, we were like, oh my God, this is one of the worst things for them. But nobody would listen to anybody because, ooh, look at, they're getting around all by themselves. Isn't that wonderful? So anyway, that's my little tidbit this morning against modern technology and against how wonderful God is, because cross-crawling is part of the process, and cross-crawling is part of us developing as humans. And just to realize that it's sort of an insignificant thing, but it's a very important thing, because that's the way God made us, and that's the way he allowed us to develop in that way. Not evolve, but to develop in that way. So, we are God's children, and God wants us to develop. And God wants us to stumble and fall. And he says, don't worry, honey, it's okay, because I'm going to direct your ways. I'm going to help you with this stuff. And he does this. And then we see that it says that God upholds us with his mighty hand. We've read all throughout the year, we read the scriptures about God and his mighty hand, but we have that hand, that mighty hand that's so strong compared to the little baby, and we put it out. So when the baby takes that first step away from the chair, they're reaching out to mommy or daddy's hand to get the next thing to reach onto. But in between the chair and the hand, they got to take a step or two steps. That's the process. That's the way it is. So Isaiah 41:10, this is what God says. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my right hand. And so God is the perfect daddy. And as believers in Yeshua, this should really bring an extra degree of comfort to each and every one of us. Let's look at Isaiah 48, and we're going to look at Proverbs then. Isaiah 48, indeed, my hand has laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has stretched out the heavens. When I call to them, and they stand up together. Is the standing up? I mean, come on, it's all here. And so here, again, it was this hand that loves you and supports you is the same hand that laid out the foundations of the earth, and it stretched out the heavens. And those heavens and the earth stood up and developed when I willed it to do that, when I called them to them. That is, now let's look at Proverbs. Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is his son's name, if you know? So this is the prophet Isaiah, and this is King Solomon in Proverbs. And so we see that hand that created the heavens and the earth, that created everything, that has the power not only established all the ends of the earth, but gathers the winds in his fists, who has control of all of these things. It is that same hand. And so God's right hand, the same hand that upholds us, according to Isaiah and Solomon, and we know we have a lot of scriptures about that. It's the creator, the hand of the creator of all things. So who is the son, and what is his name, and who is he? And so we'll look what the scriptures reveal to us in the great midrash of the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, the book of John, of Yochanan, and Colossians. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. It was the Word that became flesh. And then Shaul says to the Colossians, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. All things were created through him and for him. We know who that is. That is our Messiah, Yeshua. That is the Son. Yeshua was the creator of all things. We talk about God creating, but the reality is it was the Messiah, the Mashiach, that did all the creating. And it is that same right hand that upholds us and supports us and helps us when we are stumbling and falling. If anyone is going to direct my steps, the one that I want to direct my steps is the creators of all the heavens and the earth. That's who I want. And so it is the Messiah. So that's why I said earlier that I didn't want to sound haughty or boastful, but that's why there's that edge there that we have over the rest of mankind, because we have the creator of all things helping us with his right hand. It is Messiah Yeshua. And when we pray to the Father, we pray to the Father, his Son is going to take action. And he's going to support us and he's going to help us. The creator of all things. Our struggles are necessary. Yeshua has you in his right hand. And he wants to walk with us. And he wants to be with us each and every day. And he wants each of us to finish the good race. And the only way you could finish that good race is by crawling and struggling and getting up on the chair and raising yourself up and learning to take those steps. And eventually when you get to the point where you can walk real fast, and eventually you're walking real fast or you're starting to run. But that's part of the race. And God wants us to finish that good race. And a good race is always going to include struggles in our lives. But what matters is how we finish that race. And according to Rav Shaul, it is a good race, and God wants us to end that race. So let's understand and try to put things into perspective here and not use them as excuses, but to really understand and use them in our lives, that we are all going to stumble, but God is here, and he is ready with his right hand, and it is Yeshua, and he is ready to extend his hand to us and support us and lead us and guide us each and every day. Is there any reason that people, if we know who our Messiah truly is there any reason why we wouldn't want to speak to him and just tell him how much we love him each and every day? But he is there for each and every one of us. That's my second part of my Thanksgiving message. Shabbat Shalom, everyone.